So there I was, stranded in town. That might have bothered me if it hadn't been for the fact that I had dozens of friends around with whom I could... Several friends. A few. Did I have any friends in Twitchell? Okay, maybe I didn't, but I did have kinfolks. My very favorite sister, Maggie. And if you've got kinfolks, who needs friends? It had been quite a while since I had paid a visit to Maggie and her four lovely children. And to be honest about it, I felt a little guilty about that. I mean, a guy can get so wrapped up in his work that he neglects his kinfolks. And I happened to know that Mag had always, well, kind of idolized me. I owed her a visit, so I just said, what the heck, I'll take the time to check in on Maggie and the kids. I left the waterhole, hit Main Street, and followed it into town. It was almost dark by the time I reached her neighborhood, and I figured I had better find her place while there was still enough light to find it. I'd only been there once before, you see, and although the chances of me getting into the wrong yard were very remote, in the security business, we never rule out any possibility, no matter how remote. Okay. I pointed myself towards the north and made my way to the end of the street. There I hung a right turn, trotted some 20 yards to the east, made another right, and found myself in the alley. Ah! Immediately I felt more comfortable. I've always been more of an alley guy than a front street guy. Maybe I've already said that, but it never hurts to emphasize important points. And I've always felt more at home amongst garbage barrels and gas meters than amongst shrubs and pretty lawns. Yes, all at once I felt at ease, trotting along in the ruts of the garbage truck and... I stopped and lifted my nose and sampled the air. A fresh, an exciting aroma was riding the evening breeze, and unless I was badly mistaken, it had something to do with fried chicken. Fried chicken bones just happened to be one of my all-time favorite foods. I locked in on the scent and followed it 10 paces to the northeast and found myself standing in front of a silver garbage barrel. I glanced up and down the alley and, seeing no one, hopped up on my back legs, hooked my front paws over the lip of the barrel, and pulled it over on its side. My, my! Delicious aromas came pouring out of the barrel, as well as a few sundry items such as old newspapers, milk cartons, letters, bills, cans, bottles, and so forth. I began a sniffing and digging procedure, checking out each item for goodies. Those items which failed to test out positive for goodies, I shoveled outside the barrel. Through hard work and careful examination, I was able to narrow down the material to a single bundle of something wrapped in newspaper, which had rested near the bottom of the barrel before it had fallen over, so to speak. Yes, this was it. With paws and teeth, I slashed at the outer wrapping of paper, and at last, mercy. Fried chicken bones. Oh, how I love them. The leg bones crunch so nicely. The end portions of the wings and the rib section can often be counted upon to have some crust left on them. And almost always, you can find two juicy strips of meat that have been left on either side of the backbone. Have we ever done the chicken bone song? Maybe not, but we certainly should. Here goes.
Late in the evening, sun's gone down. A country dog finds himself in town, singing a song called the Chicken Bone Blues. Walk down the alley, go through the trash, looking for a treasure, and I don't mean cash. Singing a song called the Chicken Bone Blues. Sometimes this old world treats you badly. It's filled with sorrow, pain, and strife. But then you find a whole new meaning in the alley of life. pick through the garbage and you don't have to beg. Just dig till you find the chicken leg. Had me a woman, heart was a stone. I'm giving my love to a chicken bone. Singing a song called the Chicken Bone Blues. Oh yes, the women will say they don't need ya. A garbage can will always feed ya. Singing a song called the Chicken Bone Blues. Yes, I'm not looking for someone's pity, but I think I'll put my heart up on the shelf. There's not much to be gained feeling sorry for myself. When it comes to bones, I am Aristotle. When it's time to eat, I can hit the throttle.
Needless to say, I dived in and had myself an old-fashioned garbage barrel feast. There is an ancient rumor, based on incorrect information, that dogs cannot or should not eat chicken bones because something foolish, such as that dogs will choke on it appeared I had something caught in my throat. Probably a shred of newspaper, or perhaps a coffee ground. Must have been a shred of newspaper. See, newspaper will lump up and get caught in the... It wouldn't go down, no matter how hard I tried to swallow it. Nor would it come back up. One of the dangers of feasting in garbage cans is that a guy runs some risk of ingesting lumps of newspaper, which... this was no good. Obviously, I had bitten into some tainted lumps of newspaper, and my best course of action lay in finding some water to wash them down before I strangled. Hence, I canceled the feast, backed out of the garbage barrel, and made my way past all the litter and trash. What a mess. It was shocking to see how little some people cared about the appearance of their alley. Trash was everywhere. You know me, I'm no fuss budget, but still, if I had an alley behind my house, which I don't because I don't have a house, the cowboys won't build a house for their head of ranch security. That tells you what kind of cheap John outfit I work for. And where was I? Oh, yes. Trash and litter. If I had a house in town with an alley behind it, I think I'd take a little more pride in the appearance of my alley than some people I could mention. But never mind all that, because I had more serious problems to attend to than a messy alley. I had a lump of newspaper hung in my throat, windpipe, food tube, esophagus, whatever you call that thing, and I sure needed a drink of water to wash it down. Hence, I hurried down the alley to find my sister's yard. However, all back fences begin to look pretty much alike after dark. It had been a while, see? I had only been there once before. It was very dark. I was in a hurry. Who wouldn't have been in a hurry? What I'm driving at is that I made 3 passes up and down the stupid alley and couldn't decide which yard belonged to my sister. And all the while, that chicken-flavored newspaper lump was dealing me misery. But at last, on the 4th pass, my recollection of the place began to return, and I had narrowed my choices down to 2, yard A and yard B. Which was it? I had to make a choice. Making important choices while coughing and gagging and wheezing is not easy, but I had to do it. So I made the choice, and perhaps you'd be interested in knowing how I went about it. Okay, you asked. Here goes. At first glance, a guy would be inclined to choose A over B, because A comes first in the alphabet, can be divided by 2, and somehow just looks more appealing than a B. I don't know why. On second glance, a guy would be even more inclined to choose A over B, because B sounds a lot like B, and B's sting. Nobody has ever been stung by an A, or by anything even resembling an A. But on third glance, and on the other hand, if a guy is inclined to be superstitious, he knows that life plays tricks on all of us. Oftentimes, what appears to be obvious is only a fake and a fraud, a mean trick played upon us by whoever it is that plays tricks and enjoys watching us mess up. Hencely, a shrewd mind will make the obvious choice, in this case yard A, but then quickly reverse it to yard B to foil whatever tricks the tricksters might have planned for him. And so it was that I arrived at a scientific decision. I chose yard A, established it as my decoy decision, and instantly reversed the deal and threw all my marbles at yard B. Pretty clever, huh? Crouched on the ground below the fence around yard B, I coiled my legs under me and made a gigantic leap upward. Snagged my front paws on top of the fence, pulled and tugged with my front legs while kicking and scrambling with my hind legs, and finally boosted myself over. At last, I had reached my destination, and now all that remained was for me to awaken my sister and give her the good news that I had arrived for a visit. I hated to wake her up. Last time I dropped in for a visit, she'd been having trouble with headaches, and I knew that with all the responsibility of raising 4 pups and so forth, she needed her sleep. But I didn't want her to think I was an intruder poking around in the yard. So I went creeping through the yard. Using all my sensory equipment, I managed to locate her dark house in the darkness. I could just barely make out the tip-top of the tip of the top of the... I could just barely make out the peak of the roof, let us say, of her doghouse. And on silent paws, I slipped across the yard. As I drew closer, I could hear her breathing. No big shock there. I mean, I had expected to hear her breathing because, well, she was a normal, healthy dog and she breathed in her sleep. But her breathing did seem heavy. And moments later, I found out why.